I'm going to ask Mr. Bob if I can have the remote, because I'm going to try something this morning. He's saying, here, take it. This is forward, and that's back, so that's forward. I'm going to try to use this today and go through my message. And if I'm standing, can you see that, if I'm standing here or not? You can see it okay? All right. So my message today is talking about King David a little bit. One of the passages was a song written by King David. And you would not believe this, but I have a picture of King David. Right? Let's see how this works. I'm forwarding it, Bob. Do I got to do that?
King David!
Right, sheepish. That is one of our sheep. We have five of them, and for some reason my wife named that one King David. So, that's King David! And I will do this. So I do have a question for you, and our question is this, and one more thing. Can you see the difference in that? Okay, so I have different slides this morning using different backgrounds of colors. That's a blue background. Can you see that? Okay, well, it is blue, but who wants to answer that question?
Close. The psalm most quoted in the New Testament by New Testament. That's a close. Good one. Good guess. Good shot at it.
Yes. I see Sunday school is helping you.
Okay.
Oh my, so that is a Christmas green with red lettering. It's not working, is it, at all? I tried. Jimmy Malawski's like, we gotta have a talk, Eric. Jesus quotes Psalm 110 in the text that I read this morning, and we're gonna look into that a little closer, but let's first pray. That actually says, in a dark green with red lettering for Christmas. Let's pray. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship today. And Father, our hearts are just delighted as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday here. Father, as we look into this passage, help us to glean insights and truths to encourage us in our Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to take a step through this text a little bit, and so you can see that.
Yes.
Okay, so what's happening is Jesus is in the temple. This is during Holy Week. So he is engaging the Pharisees, and so he's initial. A lot of times they would try to stump Jesus and get him in trouble. But now he is taking the initiative and engaging with the Pharisees. He's taking the lead, and he says, what do you think about the Messiah? Hey, you Pharisees, I want to know what you think about the Messiah. What do you think about the Messiah? And whose son is he? The son of David, they reply. He said to them, I'm going to do this back here. We're going to call this Experiment Sunday. Trying different things here. He said to them, how is it that David is speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So what is going on in this short text? Jesus is engaging the Pharisees. What he's doing is he is forcing the Pharisees to work through their and to compare their understanding of the coming Messiah with what it states in the actual Bible, with what it states in the Psalms. He's challenging their misconception that the Messiah would be a great king, but just simply another earthly king. So their understanding was that they're looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They're anticipating the coming to set them free from captivity. But they didn't consider him to be a divine being. And so he's saying to them, what do you think about the Messiah, you Pharisees? How is it that if David writes in the Psalm, my Lord said to my Lord, how could he be David's son, but David also be calling him Lord? Can you explain that to me? And they left. I want to look at Psalm 110 here, just this first verse, and I apologize if that was my goof up today with the reading. Again, I apologize. There we go. Oh, I'm going to go back one. Okay, forward. You have fun with this, Simon. So, Psalm 110:1, we're going to look at it. This is David writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. David is saying, the Lord, Yahweh, Almighty God, says to my Lord, Adonai, that's what it is in the Hebrew, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Jesus is saying to them, how can the Messiah be the son of David, but also be David's Lord? Right? The best explanation for this is found in the Christian teaching of the Holy Trinity. David's Lord is a reference to Christ in the Old Testament before the teaching of the Trinity was fully developed. I'm taking my first of several Lutheran classes at Gordon Conwell Seminary, and so of course I get on and I look at the spring offering of classes on there. As if I had time to take classes. But there's a class called Christ in the Old Testament. It looks really, really good. I'm like, no, I can't take that. I don't have time or money for that. But it's an interesting concept. This psalm, as we as Christians, as the people of God, as Christians, we recognize this text as an Old Testament reference to the Messiah who we know as Jesus. So, Psalm 110, the Lord, God Almighty, God the Father, said to my Lord, Jesus Christ. Right? This is confirmed in many places. Romans 1, 1-3, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who was to be an earthly life, was a descendant of David. Jesus Christ, as we know, is a descendant of King David. What are our practical takeaways of the text? I do have practical takeaways. I gotta get. I went too many. You know what? Let's do this. You do it. I'm going to give you a thumbs up to keep going forward. I can't do things at one time. Go back one, Bob. We do have practical takeaways. We have a king that is in control. We can take comfort that if we think the world is falling apart, that things are going crazy, that someone is driving this ship. Someone is in control. God is in control of all things. And we can find comfort in that. And I have struggled with this, as we all have at times. You know, I don't want to say that flippantly. Oh, well, God is in control. Let's move on. We see tragedies around us. We see war. We see things where tragically young people take their lives. How can God be in control of that? And if you don't ask that question, there's going to be a workshop for liars after the service. But how do we reconcile? How do we reconcile that? If I have the complete answer for that, I'm going to write a book and give it, and we're going to split the money, and we'll have enough to go on a cruise. We'll have our entire year of church service on a cruise ship. Does that sound good? Okay. This is hard to reconcile, and it's easy for someone to stay up here and just go, blah, 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 God is in control, and let's move on. But what other hope do we have? If God is not in control, then I think we're in big trouble. You're in a church. You're spending time this morning because you believe in Christ. You believe in God. And if He is not in control of this thing, then we might as well just skip the whole thing. I'm reminded of Bob, next slide, please. I'm going to practice this thing next time before I do this live. Right? Who's familiar with Joni Erickson Tada? I hope many of you are. I don't know how, but she's been around in ministry since I was probably a young person, probably in my 20s. She suffered an accident. I don't know if it was on a horse or not. She was diving, and she injured her spine. And I don't know if she's a paraplegic. She's a paraplegic. Now, talk about someone who'd have to be really, really concerned with God's control over everything. But she has a ministry. She's done amazing things for those with disabilities. She's written books. She speaks. Now, there's someone who could say, the heck with everything. Where's God in this? I can't even walk anymore. I can barely move. She's married. She has a very, very successful ministry, and she has met more people's needs. And yeah, go ahead, Kat.
She has a beautiful singing voice.
I did not know that. So if you are not familiar with her, Google her. I really encourage that. So while we can't understand why, one of my favorite Asbury professors was Dr. Michael Peterson, who's written books. And he'll say the most challenging things for those of us who believe in God to reconcile is the existence of pain and suffering. That's not an easy thing to reconcile. We as believers in Christ, though, put our faith in God that He is in control, though we don't understand. We see through a glass dimly. Bob? Not only is it my last point, Christ is not just a king, but He is a priestly king. He's not just a king. Bob, go ahead. No, can you see who that is? Henry VIII. Jenny Malinowski. Jenny Lobel. One of the Jennies is over there laughing. You know about King Henry VIII. The king of England. You know what he did to get the annulment? He essentially said, we're splitting from the church in Rome. I'm going to make myself the head of the Church of England so he could call the shots on his annulment, right? He took on, as a king, he took on the role as quote-unquote a priest. We don't have that with Jesus. We have someone who understands our pain and our questions and our doubts.
And he is the king in control, but he's sympathetic to our position. It says in Hebrews, we don't have a high priest who is unsympathetic. Go ahead, Bob. He's not just a king, he's a priestly king. We can pour out the deep things of our hearts. We can and should be honest with God. We cannot make God blush. Do you know that we cannot make God blush? Be fully, completely honest with God in your prayer life. You can't make God blush. He knows everything about us, how many hairs on our head. And he knows what's going on in here. So we're encouraged because he is our priestly king to pour out our hearts and be authentic with God. Go ahead, Bob. In closing, the people of Israel, they wanted a king. Remember that? We want a king. Like all those other nations out there, we want a king. Well, they got one, Saul, and he wasn't so good. They got King David, and he certainly had his problems, though he was seen as Israel's greatest king. Well, it's Christ the King Sunday. In Christ, we have the true King of Kings. God has rightfully reclaimed the throne of his people in Christ Jesus. Amen.